My name is Monty Rowland. I'm with Monty Design in Morrisville, North Carolina. And it seems like most of my podcasts seem to occur when I'm on the road. So I wanted to take a few minutes while I was on the road and chat with you. One of the topics that is very relevant in our current situation as Americans is the lack of understanding of economics. The statement, there is no free lunch, is definitely a true one. When you look at the spectrum of things happening now, there's two different schools of thought that are present. One school of thought is a school of thought that we're a wealthy nation and that people who produce will produce no matter what you do. And that those people produce enough that the other people can have them pay the way. And that's not creation of wealth. That's transfer of wealth. The other philosophy is that we need to create an environment where people can build wealth. And that if you choose not to build wealth, then, or work for somebody who does, and therefore, by extension, build wealth, you end up with less. So, on one hand, we have a group of people that assume that a certain standard of living should be provided just because you breathe. And on the other hand, we have a group of people that say, hey, if you're not going to go to work, and you're not going to earn what you eat, earn the TV you want to watch, then you're going to do without. And the first group of people go, well, that's just not fair. It's not right. You know, well, it is fair and it is right. And it is healthy. Once you start as a nation giving away free things, and in order to give, and for a government to give away something, they have to take it from somebody else. A government cannot create wealth. The government, the only way it's even close is the government, through things like space exploration, the military, may help drive research, but all they can do is kind of encourage. So the government just cannot create wealth effectively. And that has to do with, you have a big organization cannot be a wealth creator. Like, for example, governments don't run manufacturing businesses well. Governments don't run farms well. So that's why government can't create wealth. Unless the government takes over a private industry or competes with a private industry somehow, the function of government itself is not to create wealth, it's just to manage trade, manage, have a military, at least according to the Constitution. And the Constitution says that the government can tax trade between the states, and can keep a military. That's what the government's required to do. All the other stuff we're doing is extra constitutional. But that's maybe for another discussion. So when it comes down to wealth, I have to say, well, what's the difference between wealth and money? Well, wealth is where you've created something of value. And that something of value then turns around and gets sold, and the person who created the something of value benefits by obtaining, in this case, money, or maybe in some cases, something else. But generally, you're going to get money in exchange for what you've created. So when we think about wealth, how do we create wealth? We create wealth by mining it, farming it, or manufacturing it. Now, of course, some of my techie friends are going to say, what about software? Well, software is kind of an interesting animal, as is digital content, any digital content, because software is a pseudo form of wealth. And the reason why I say it's a pseudo form of wealth is because it's not a tangible good. So there's a debate there. But so let's just include software. So if you're making software, you're manufacturing software. And so that's wealth. So all these things have in common is that someone has taken something of lesser value, done something to it, added a value, and now it has a greater value. And that has a greater value that people want, they buy it, and then that translates into wealth. So transferring wealth to other people does not create wealth. Matter of fact, it takes wealth out of the community. So actually, things like welfare harm the people that everybody's saying they're trying to help. And you say, well, how is that? We're giving somebody a fish. They're eating the fish for dinner. Well, the problem is that once you do that, that person, and I'm talking about on institutional scale, if your neighbor's house burns down and you give them some clothes, that's a totally different thing. That's a personal thing. That's a community thing. We're talking about a government. So when a government takes wealth from one person who is creating wealth and gives it to someone else, that person loses the incentive to create their own wealth or work for somebody who creates wealth. When that happens, the ability for that economy overall to create wealth through that individual is diminished. And so you start a downward spiral. Now, there may be blips where a small number of people are generating so much wealth that it's not a big problem, that you can transfer a tremendous amount of wealth away. But at some point, there's going to be a blip. And at some point, once you start giving things away, more and more people want to receive those things. So this is a transitional state when you start transferring wealth in a communist environment or a socialist environment or a totalitarian environment or fascist. Transfer wealth away from those people causes two things to happen. Well, actually three. One is the person you give the wealth has no incentive to earn wealth. And so they don't do wealth producing things. So they're not adding to the wealth of the community. Now, what I am not saying is someone who doesn't add to the wealth of the community isn't valuable to the community. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we're just talking here about in terms of one perspective, and that's on wealth. And I believe everyone has a value to the community and to our nation. So when we think about wealth, though, when that person is no longer able to create wealth, then that amount of wealth is not created, or they're no longer able to work for someone who does. And then the other thing that happens is there's a disincentive for the people who create wealth. So the more you tax individuals who are wealth creators, the more they have less incentive to create that wealth, therefore not maximizing the potential that a community has, or a country, a nation has, to be wealthy. And so as they lose incentive, people don't get hired. Goods don't get bought. And when they lose that incentive, when that person has, on a micro scale, loses the incentive to become a wealth producer because they're getting a handout, and then the person who's actually a major wealth producer loses the incentive, then they reduce the amount of trade they're doing with other wealth producers and with other nations. As that happens, the general business level declines and the amount of wealth in a nation declines. So what, I know this sounds all doom and gloom, but what's happening when we transfer money from a wealth producer to someone who's not in a confiscatory way. And by a confiscatory way, I mean the government takes it in forms of taxes or fees or mandates or what have you. Then we create this downward spiral for the entire nation. Because the number of people who will take a handout and create no wealth is something that will grow. I mean, hey, it's free food, free money, free cell phones, free whatever, free healthcare. And so you, as a nation, over time, we have this decline, which we're seeing now in terms of job creation, in terms of wealth of the stock market, value of the stock market. And so it's so important that people understand that transferring wealth is not creation of wealth. And as you transfer wealth, you remove that incentive to create new wealth. And just like we went through, it's a downward spiral. So we want to encourage people to get out and earn a living by making it necessary. Now, you say, well, what about people who can't? Well, that's a small percentage of the population. And that's not what I'm talking about here. And that's something that a community, a family needs to deal with. The national government cannot cost-effectively confiscate money from around the country and make sure it gets to the people who can't earn their own way. It just can't happen. It doesn't happen. It becomes wrought with fraud. And what happens with the fraud is that the government is inefficient. So let's say that you or I have a neighbor whose house burns down, and we give that neighbor some clothes. Maybe we take that neighbor shopping. Every dollar that we're spending at this point is going directly to that neighbor. Maybe we're recycling or downcycling or upcycling even some goods that we don't need anymore, like the clothes or furniture. And so we have this very, very efficient way of helping. Well, the problem with giveaways on a government level is that the government, on a good day, 50% of that money ends up with the people who need it. That means 50% of that money goes to someone who's a bureaucrat or works for a bureaucracy. And that's not creation of wealth, that's displacing wealth. That takes that money out of the economy, makes it that much more difficult for that individual who's just been displaced out of their home to go find a job, etc. So charity's best handled when it's efficiently handled. Governments cannot, and this is a demonstrated track record. And what everybody assumes is that there's so many people in America that'll give a little bit and then that'll help everybody else, but it's not an efficient way to do it. And the other thing that does is it also means that those charities have less to work with, because part of that money went away in taxes, the economy is diminished because we're not using that money to create wealth. The money that the government waste as part of the bureaucracy and so forth. So there's a huge impact there on the production of our economy. Now, some of y'all are saying, well, what does that have to do with product design? Well, it has a lot. The reason why I say that is because when you design a product, you have to produce a product that has value to somebody, so they'll buy it. And you have to produce a product that has a lifespan, it fits the market. And so understanding the economy of the market you're selling to, understanding the economy of the vendors that are producing that product is critical, because it's not only will someone reach up on the shelf and grab that product and take it to the cash register, it's also what will they think about it in the long term. Can you sell the next product to them? Will that merchandiser actually, or that store, actually put their product on their shelf? Will the distributor put that on their shelf. And so I think once you start looking at national economics through rose-colored glasses, and your view of economics of the nation becomes skewed, it's very easy for your view of the products you want to produce and sell to also have that same lack of reality. So being well informed about how the economy works, in my mind, is very, very important as it relates to making decisions about what design decisions, production decisions. So I think having a well-informed company, your organization that's producing these, designing, producing, selling these products, I think that's important so that everyone understands the entire process. There's no, concepts like social justice, and a lot of these concepts are concepts that misinform constituents, associates, vendors, and may put you in a position where it's hard to run your business because you're looking at this, how the economy works, through a skewed view, which then turns around and affects how you look at your own business. They may affect the performance of your business because you're not approaching it properly. So hopefully this is a good conversation for everyone. I know I'm at risk of off topic, but at the same time, I think it's so important that as product designers, we have a vibrant economy, so we have customers. Without a vibrant economy, new products don't get designed, and quite frankly, we don't have as many customers. So I'm all for educating people about, how does an economy work? Separate some partisan nonsense from reality, and then generate your political views from that, but at least understand how the economy works so that we can all be winners, or at least most of us can. I will say that, everybody in life isn't a winner, but I think we can as a nation win when we have a well-educated populace and we have appropriate view of how an economy works and what's the role of any citizen or any business in that economy. So have a great day. If you have any questions, commentary, hate mail, what have you, or if you want us to help you on a project and help you participate in that economy in a grand and glorious way, please don't hesitate to give me a call, Monty Rowland, 919-481-1845, or Monty, M-O-N-T-I-E, at Monty, M-O-N-T-I-E.com, or visit www.monty.com. Have a great day.